We'll ask for your prayers this morning. Lord, bless His word. Thankful for each one that's here. My desire and burden seems like through the week is, Lord, I want to be able to feed their souls. That the Lord would meet with us and that He would mete out to each one of us the portion that He sees we have need of. It's only through His Spirit that that can be done. I'm thankful that He is a very present help in our times of trouble. I'm thankful that He's, as another song says, He's the God of the mountain and He's the God of the valley. He's the God of the day and the God of the night. He's the God of the good times and the God of the bad times. And because of that, we can have the peace that they sang about. Passes understanding in the time of trouble and the time of need. I'm thankful for that. I found Him to be a friend I couldn't do without. It's a song in our book. I think it's number 487. But I've been thinking about in connection with the burden the Lord's given me for this morning. All the burdens, what so heavy, light, and easy seem to me, in my soul is heaven's sunshine. When my Savior talks with me, in my heart a song is ringing, heard like heaven seems to me. Life new joy to me is bringing, when my Savior talks with me. You ever have the Lord come along and talk with you? I trust that every one of us have, and it's one of the great privileges of serving the Lord, of being a child of God, that we're not in this alone. We're not off on our own somewhere, though at times we may feel alone. Isn't it precious when the Lord comes along and the hours of distress and the hours of need and the hours of trouble, and He knows just how to speak our language. He knows how to come and give us the very scripture that we need, the song, the thought of encouragement. It's so wonderful when the Lord comes and talks to us. And I'm thankful that the Lord is willing and desires and does that. Believe to every one of us what a difference it makes. It says, all the burdens once so heavy, light and easy seem to be. In my soul is heaven's sunshine when my Savior talks with me. When the Lord comes along and you feel His presence and you hear His voice and He ministers to you. But that's not quite my burden. My burden is, what about when my Savior doesn't talk with me? The silence of God. As I said, it's so wonderful. When the Lord comes along and you can hear, maybe not in an audible tone, but you can feel with it just the witness to your soul. That's the Lord. That's what I need. But what about when the Lord doesn't talk to you? And this perhaps is where I'll have to go from my personal experience. Maybe you've not been in those places. Where you pray. Where you seek the Lord. And it seems like you don't get anything. It seems like there's silence. Well, that's what I'd like for us to consider here for a while. I'd like to turn to the 13th chapter of Psalms. It's the Psalm of David. The first verse says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? forever? You ever feel like in your trials that it's forever? Does it ever seem like, I don't know if you've ever had a night that was sleepless, and you know that it'll be over. You know that if the Lord tarries His coming, the sun will rise again. But you know those nights can seem endless. Especially if you're in pain or in suffering or distress or in a trial, or maybe you're caring for somebody that is. And it seems like the clock just won't move fast enough. And you try to endure and you try to wait and you pray and you seek the Lord. And you've heard maybe the testimonies and maybe you've experienced it yourself. Where I've been in those times, and it's like the windows of heaven just open up, and Lord, I need a windows of heaven moment. Lord, I need that right now. And the minute hand keeps crawling by, and the room's still dark, the thoughts of discouragement still present themselves to us. David said here, Lord, how long? Lord, it seems like it's forever. It seems like there's no end to this thing. Lord, am I going to have to be under this forever? For the rest of my life? Lord, how long will it be? How long will you forget me? Now, had the Lord forgotten David? We'll touch maybe on that here after a little while. But you know, it can seem like to us, Lord, have you forgotten me? It can seem like in our humanity, in our reasoning, in our feelings, it can seem like and look like, Lord, you've forgotten me. Lord, I pray and I seek you and I do everything that I know to do. And Lord, it seems like there's no answer. It seems like Lord, I need something right now. Lord, I just don't get anything special like I feel like I need. Forever? Lord, how long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Lord, I still believe in you. I still know that your way is right and that's the way that I want. Lord, I don't want to go the way of transgressors. I don't want to choose any other path, Lord. I want to follow you. Well, Lord, it seems like day after day after day. Did the Lord promise to us an expiration date on our trials? If you follow me, if you're my child, you won't have a trial that goes beyond 12 hours. You won't have a trial that goes beyond a week. The Lord doesn't give those kind of promises. There are many, many other promises that He does give us. Lord, how many days? Day after day I have sorrow in my heart. Was it Job, I believe, that said, man is a few days full of trouble. Lord, I feel the trouble. It's been days now. I've had sorrow in my heart every day. My enemy, it seems like, is exalted over me. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Did he say, Lord, when you bring me out, then I'll sing to you. Lord, when you bring me to the other side and I'm on the mountaintop, Lord, then I'll sing unto you. You know, David here, though he felt the press of the trial, though he felt the oppression, he felt the loneliness, he felt alone. Yet he still put his trust in the Lord. Lord, I've trusted in you. My heart shall still rejoice. I'm still going to sing unto the Lord. Lord, you've dealt bountifully with me. This is about more than what my eyes can see. It's about more than what I feel. Lord, you've been a good God to me. You've been good and merciful to me, regardless of what I'm going through. 22nd chapter of the same book, another Psalm of David's. These words will probably sound familiar to you from the New Testament. Echoing from the cross, he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But Lord, for me, I'm not seeing it yet. I know that you'll bring me out, but Lord, I'm not there. I'm not seeing it. Lord, why have you forsaken me?" David, no doubt, could remember and look back, as I trust every one of us can, and remember the times in our life. Lord, I remember when you were so near. I remember when I felt your presence so precious to me. I remember when it felt like I could just feel your arms wrapped around me. I remember that. Lord, I don't feel it right now. Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why am I in this place right now? Lord, why do I not feel your presence? Is there anything wrong with feeling that? With asking those questions? Start with the first question, is there anything wrong with feeling it? And I'll remind you again of Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Had the Lord forsaken him? Certainly not. You know, in our deepest hour of distress and agony, it can seem like to all of our senses that we're all alone, that we've been forsaken. If you look at the Hebrew word for what it says here, thou hearest not, that word "hear" is perhaps better translated "answer." Thou answerest me not. Lord, I feel alone. I've been crying and praying and seeking you and doing all that I know to do, and I don't get any answer. Oh Lord, how long? Perhaps you've been in a place like that. I'd like to look at another example before we go on, one that I believe is familiar to us, of Job. Job chapter 23, beginning in the 8th verse. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." You ever see a child that maybe gets distracted and separated from their parent, and then they realize it? Maybe they're in a strange place or in the store, they realize it and look around and mom's not here and mom's not there, and you can almost see their eyes getting bigger and panic beginning to set in. Where are they? Nowhere around. You know, we can feel some panic sometimes whenever I don't feel the Lord. Whenever I'm seeking him and I'm praying, and Lord, I'm going to try to pray. And I pray and I don't feel anything. Lord, I'm going to go to your word. And I read his word and it's true and it's right, but it just doesn't speak to the place that I'm in my mind and heart. Well, Lord, I'll fast. All those things are right. Yet everywhere that I go and turn, I don't feel the Lord. I can't reach out and touch Him. I can't seem to touch the throne. But He says, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Lord, I know. I don't see You. I don't feel You right now. But Lord, I know that You know the way that I take. You know, this is a way of faith. The Scripture says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by what I can see. So maybe put another way, the reality of God. The reality of His faithfulness, the reality of His presence is not contingent upon, it's not based on what I can see, what I can feel, what I can experience with my senses. That doesn't determine the reality of who God is. It doesn't determine the reality of His presence. We don't walk by sight. There's something that goes beyond that, that goes deeper than that. Thank the Lord that this way, though it is a way of faith, He lets us see at times. He lets us get those glimpses almost into heaven and the things of God and to feel His presence. The Lord knows the way that I take. The Lord knows the things that I have need of. And Job recognized, Lord, You're trying me here. And I know that when I get out of the other side, it's not for the destruction of my life and of my soul. Lord, You're trying me for a better purpose. You have, as the Scripture says, I know the thoughts that I have towards You, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace or of good and not of evil, to give You an expected end. I know where I want You to go. You can't see beyond right here. But I can. You inhabit time. You're looking at the second hand and the minute hand and counting the time. But I dwell in eternity. And I can see the beginning from the end of a thing. And I know where You are. And I know where You're going. And I know what You need to be able to get You there. I remember whenever we were caring for Katrina's mother, her terminal sickness, and she was staying with us. She, of course, being the primary caregiver, felt it perhaps even more than I did. But I remember the Lord was so good to us. The saints were so good to us. You all were so good to us. You know, the battle dragged on and on and on. Lord, we'll do everything that we know to do. And we pray and we seek the Lord and we call around for prayer and we'd set up times where maybe at 10 o'clock, everybody, let's be in agreement of prayer. And I have to say, many were the time that the Lord came to her rescue and gave her relief from the pain. And the nurses, the hospice nurses coming in, marveled at it at different times of what the Lord did for her. And we were thankful for it. But Lord, we're looking for more. Lord, we're looking for complete healing and deliverance here. Those nights got long sometimes, where she'd call and say, call upstairs where we were and come pray for me. I need help. I need relief right here. And the body, when you've been going through it for weeks and months and tired and sleep deprived. And I think we just prayed 20 minutes ago. Lord, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what other words to bring before You. I don't know what else to do here, Lord, but to go and just cast ourselves at Your feet again. And Lord, here we are again. And oh, how I'd love to see the room just lightened up with a bright light and the Lord to speak audibly and You know, in our minds we can think and reason, Lord, I need something like that right now. You know, the Lord knows better than we do what we need. I remember one time as it was drawing close to her ultimate deliverance. We didn't know it at the time, and remember feeling maybe a little bit like David. Lord, is this going to go on forever? And thought that we were resigned. Lord, if you want to take her, if you want to heal her, Lord, is this going to last forever? Will life ever look different than what it is here? Will there ever be some normalcy here for her, for us? Remember the Lord finally bringing a song to my mind. When you feel so all alone, angels are standing next to you. You know, I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. But it was the Lord reminding me, Clint, there's more than you can see. There's more than what you can feel. You remember the servant of Elijah, I believe it was, when it seemed like Elijah didn't have a care in the world. Master, Master, we're surrounded. Look at the enemy. And, oh, there's more with us than there are with them. What do you mean by that? I don't see more. I can count one, two, thousands. Lord, open his eyes. And as he lifted up his eyes and he looked and he saw the hills and the mountains filled with the chariots of the Lord and the angel, you know, it changed the perspective completely. But if we walk by sight alone, we don't see all of that. We don't see the bigger picture. But it makes it no less real, no less of a reality around us. And the promises of God, where He sends His angels to encamp round about them that fear Him. Lord, at times I need to see those angels right now, Lord. I need to see Him encamped round about me. It is natural, normal, to sometimes face questions, doubts, fears, wondering, Lord, where are you? Lord, why? Lord, why am I going through this? I'll share another experience. Been two times in my life, really. I felt the Lord was wanting me to do something. But I knew I needed to know that it was the mind of the Lord. And there were some decisions that I had to make based on which way to go, what the Lord's will was for us. As the father and man of the home, I had to make that decision. I wanted to know. And it was concerning the work of the Lord. Lord, I want to know. I want to know that this is you. I want to know that you're in this. I want to know that I'm not just going off on my own charge. I feel like, Lord, this is the way you're leading and this is the direction that you want me to go. And Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go. Lord, you just give me the go and it's done. You just tell me, give me the word. You remember, was it Gideon that put out fleeces? It's a good story, isn't it? True one. Put out the fleece one night. He said, Lord, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. In other words, something that couldn't be a natural occurrence. Because I want to know that this is your will. The Lord answered. Still had a little doubt. And he said, Lord, again. But the other way this time. Lord, the Lord knows our humanity. The Lord knows our hesitations. The Lord knows our doubts and our uncertainties and our fears. And thank the Lord, He's a merciful and a long-suffering God. Lord, would you let it be the other way now? And the Lord answered. And he went on the strength of that. When my Savior talks with me. Lord, I remember those stories of Gideon. Lord, it's my turn. Here's my fleece, Lord. And Lord, I know, and bear with me to share my personal experience. Lord, I know I can't put you in a box. I know your time is not my time, but Lord, I've got a such and such deadline that I have to do this and this by this date. So Lord, here's my fleece. Nothing. Lord, if it's your will, do this. And if it's not your will, do this. Neither. Lord, I'll try again. Lord, I need to know your will. I've tried the left hand. Lord, I'm going to try the right hand now. Lord, let me try this fleece now. Lord, cause this to be the case or this to happen. And if not, cause that to happen. And nothing. And I hope you'll understand. The Christian life isn't all about this experience. But I want to be a little vulnerable and share with you some of those experiences that I've had. That perhaps you've had. Lord, I need something. I need an answer. A turn and maybe read a scripture and Lord, that's good, but it doesn't give me the answer. Lord, how long will you not hear me? Or how long will you not answer me? Days, weeks, fasting, praying, seeking the Lord. Lord, I know you can. I know you can make it clear. I know you can. Lord, you can write it on the sky. You can write it on the wall. You can, whatever you need to do, Lord. Silence. It happened two, as I said, two different times. Two separate occasions, different years. You know, I felt, it sounds bad, I felt betrayed. My feelings that I was having to battle with. Lord, why? Lord, you know I was willing. Lord, you know I wanted to do your will. Lord, you know I was doing everything I knew to do. Lord, why? Why didn't you answer me? Lord, why didn't you hear me? You know, the Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. And it was a while later. I got no answer and felt like I knew, Lord, if you don't answer, I'm not gonna change things. I'm going to stay put if you don't answer in the circumstance. So I did. And after a while, the Lord began to show me, Clint, I want to know that I can trust you to wait and be still as much as I can trust you to go. And I didn't understand and see all the pieces and how they all fit together. But by and by, I began to see how the Lord was fitting things together. And I realized, you know, that would have been the wrong decision. Some of the way I felt the Lord was leading me, I began to realize and understand more perfectly what He was really trying to bring me to. Folks, the Lord is so merciful. If we'll wait on Him, if we'll put our trust in Him and not despair and panic, the enemy of our soul loves to work in fear. He loves to work in a place whenever I get there and I look around and I don't feel anything. You ever go bird hunting? It is greatly to the hunter's advantage if they can spook the bird. If the bird stays put down in a bush or tree, that's their best chance of survival. But if you can send a dog in rustling around and barking and the bird spooks and becomes fearful and flies away, that's what you're waiting for. And it's what the enemy's waiting for with us. Is to get us into a place where my faith falters. Lord, I don't feel you. I don't experience. I can't. Lord, I've got to take care of this in my own way. So I'd like to consider a few thoughts and pray the Lord will maybe expand on them to each of our mind. Why might it be that we feel the silence of God? Read in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. the Lord gave to the children of Israel as he had given them his law. He gave them a blessing and a curse. Why in the road? If you follow me and obey my commandments, you'll be blessed. Your crops will be blessed and I'll watch over you and I'll fight your battles for you. But if you choose not to, then the ground will be solid. And he said in one place that the heaven over thee will be brass. What did he mean by that? Perhaps he meant that the rain won't be able to penetrate it. There will be drought. But I believe perhaps there's more than that. If you choose to walk contrary to my law and go in your own ways and in your own sins, the heaven will be solid as brass. Your prayers that you try to ascend in your times of need of what you want and what you desire, there's a brass ceiling that's put there by your decisions and your sins. Thank the Lord that he's willing to hear the repentant cry of a sinner. But the scripture says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." That's certainly one reason, or can be one cause for a separation from God. That being a real one, not just perceived or felt. Your sins and your iniquities have severed that bond, that connection, that relationship with me, where you can talk as a friend talks to his friend. Can it then be said that every time you feel the silence of God, it is because of iniquity? Isn't that kind of what Job's comforters tried to tell him? Job, it must be. It must be because you've sinned against God. And you know, it's the way our mind works. Lord, if I've been obedient, if I've humbled myself before you and I'm trying to serve you, Lord, why wouldn't you give me only good? Why wouldn't you only give good things in my life? And so their comforters began trying to diagnose and trying to understand, and it's surely some sin in your life. None of them could see the conversation that had gone on in a realm that they weren't privy to, where the enemy was coming along and trying to snatch Job away, and the Lord had confidence. You can't see that part of the picture. There's more to it than just iniquity. God's children, I believe, to varying extents, degrees, and times, will feel a bit of separation, a bit of loneliness, a bit of time where you wonder, Lord, where are you? I'll give another example. Remember Moses when he was wandering along one day and he saw a bush over to the side. The bush was burning. That in and of itself perhaps wouldn't have been such a spectacular sight. But as he continued watching it, he didn't see the bush consumed at all. It just continued burning as an unnatural fuel source. You know, the scripture says that when God saw that Moses turned aside to see, that he spoke out of the bush. You know, it could be that in our lives sometimes, that by the busyness and cares of life, that I get so caught up and distracted that the Lord sends some things my way, trying to get my attention, trying to pull me aside, trying to say, child, come aside for a little bit. Come seek my face for a little while. I'd like to talk to you. There's some things I'd like to share with you. Could it have been that Moses had said, huh, that's interesting, and kept on going? Would the Lord have spoken to him out of the bush? We don't know for sure, but again, the scripture says, when the Lord saw that Moses made the decision and the effort to turn aside, that's when the Lord spoke to him. I'd like to look at Ecclesiastes, now the third chapter. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted," etc. Goes on to talk about the contrast, dichotomy of events and of circumstances of life. And he said there's a time and a season. There's a time to rejoice, dance, joy, and happiness. And there's a time to mourn, to lament, and to weep. The song, "God's Way is Best," says, "Had I the choosing of my pathway." Doesn't that seem nice sometimes? If I could order it like at a drive-through window, "Lord, I'd like this, and I'd like this. Behold the onions, I don't like that. And I want you to give me some of it, but I don't want the rejection. Lord, I want patience, but I don't want to have to deal with people that require patience. Lord, I want faith, but I don't want trials that test my faith. Lord, I want this custom order. Here it is. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. The Lord knows what it takes to get every one of us to heaven. And part of being His child is saying, Lord, I'm not my own. Lord, I belong to You. And I believe that Your way is best. A season and a time." 7th chapter of the same book, 14th verse says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him." Seasons. What is a season? It's something that has a beginning and an end, doesn't it? It's not always real definite. There's a time on the calendar, the start of summer, which I believe is yesterday. It's the start of it. It's not the way things always are. It's a season. It's here for a while, and it passes on to something else. You know, there are seasons of life in more ways than one that we experience throughout the development and the course of our life. Childhood, adolescence, teenage years, young parents, middle age, grandparents, old age, etc. There's different seasons that hold different opportunities, that hold different joys, that hold different challenges. One is here for a while, passes on, and it moves to the next. We can spend our life in the season that we're in chafing and wishing for the next season to get here. Where the scripture says, consider both. That the Lord sets the one over against the other. It's His workings in both of the seasons. In the winter time, where it's barren and desolate and cold and just not real pleasant outside. You know, there's a purpose to winter. Even in the cycle of life and trees and the plants and all. And you know, there's something about winter that makes spring all the more joyful. Whenever spring comes. And you know, that's something else about seasons. In the coldest winter day, spring's coming. The coldest, bitterest, grayest, gloomiest day, something else is coming. The sun's going to rise and it's going to bring some more warmth with it. The flowers are going to begin to pop up out of that barren looking ground, and the leaves and buds on the tree will start to come out again. The scripture says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Just hold on a little while. Waiting on the Lord. I may not see, I may not feel right now, but it's a season. And the Lord has a purpose for this season, just like He has a purpose for the next season. In history, there have been seasons, long seasons. There have been long periods of time. We read about a brief synopsis here of the history of God's dealings with mankind. Wonderful, incredible, miraculous interventions of God's power in the lives of people. How God came and He spoke to people, and revealed himself to people and worked for people, our God is still the same. He's not changed. He's not lost any of his power. And we can, as Scripture warns against saying, what's the reason that the former days are better than these days? Our God's not changed. There are things in society that have changed, certainly, all around us. But our God's not changed. The enemy would maybe like to get us into a place that I think, if only I was in a different season, a different time of history, then I could really flourish for the Lord. But that's not the season and the time of history the Lord's put us in. It's right here and right now and in this season. And the Lord wants us to flourish where we're planted and in the time we're planted. When we look at this brief synopsis of God's dealings with mankind, you know there are long periods of time in between some of these highlights that we don't read about, of the long, monotonous, day in and day out life, where the Lord didn't necessarily come down in a cloud or send an angel to visit. You look at Abraham and Sarah and how many years they waited before an angel came along with a promise. You know, our lives can seem like those seasons drag on so long. Lord, what's wrong? Lord, where are you? Lord, why have you forgotten about me? The period of time of the children of Israel. Wherefore? What, 430 years, I believe? Their groanings, their cryings. Lord, we're still in bondage. Lord, why? Why haven't you heard us? Why haven't you done something for us here? In due time, God did. But there was a season. There was a season of silence preceding the birth of Christ of about 400 years. Where, to our understanding, there was no open vision or prophetic revelation, the word that was given. Why? You know, God's ways are above our ways. God is in heaven, thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. Lord, I don't have the answers, but I know your way is best. And I know there's no way I'd rather take than to put my trust in you. The Scripture says when in the, what is it, the dunamis, when in the fullness of time, God brought forth the promised child. There had been periods and long seasons of silence, wondering when. And we also, no doubt, will face some of those seasons in our life. I'd like to look at 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. We'll try to conclude here shortly. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." In the fullness of time, there's coming exceeding joy. But if by needs be we're in heaviness through trial, the Lord's got a purpose and a reason for that too. I want to call your minds as well to Daniel's experience. 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel was feeling a need for some answers. Lord, I need some revelation. I need some answers here. Some understanding here. And Daniel did the right thing. He set himself to seek the Lord. And he fasted. And he prayed. You know, the answer didn't come by dinner time when his stomach was starting to growl. It didn't come the second day or the third or the first week. There was silence. And all day, and you know, Daniel had heard from the Lord multiple occasions. Daniel knew what it was like to lay down at night. Lord, I need an answer. Lord, this king is, he's going to take my head off if I don't get an answer. And to lay down and the Lord bring a vision to him and reveal secrets to him. He knew what that was like. But there are seasons. There are times, even in Daniel's life, where things are different now. Lord, where are you? Lord, I've been fasting for a week now. 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks. At what point do I start to get discouraged? At what point do I start to panic a little bit? 3 weeks. And at the end of the 3 weeks, an angel came at long last, revealed himself to Daniel, and he told Daniel something that's always stuck out to me. Daniel, your cry was heard from the first time you prayed. And for this cause, I am sent to you. But he went on to say that he had been hindered by the workings of Satan. Daniel, I heard your cry. We can question and wonder sometimes in our humanity. Lord, do you hear? Lord, I've been praying. I've not been getting an answer. Lord, have you heard? You know, there are, as I mentioned, so many promises we don't have time to get into here. But one of them, maybe we will turn and look at in 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John 5 and 14th verse says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Sorry, wrong chapter. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. There's not a condition on this verse that says, if you feel it, if you see it, then the Lord hears. We know that the Lord hears us. As He said to Daniel from the first time, it wasn't God's will, wasn't able to come and give you the answer immediately. But I heard the Father was moved, and I was sent from the Father to come and intercede on your behalf. It took a little while, but I'm here. Folks, it may take a little while, but springtime's coming. It may take a little while, but joy comes in the morning. We may be in it a while, but the Lord will come. I'd like to share with you a song. Maybe you've heard it. It's called Consolation. Child of God's boundless mercy, child of His tender love, is He not true forever? Will He not faithful prove? Hidden may be His purpose when thou dost weep and pray. Silence may be the answer. He may seem far away. Silence may be the answer. He may seem far away. Canst thou not trust His silence? Canst thou not trust and wait? Over thee still He watcheth. Help will not come too late. He is as true when silent as when His voice you hear. When He seems farthest distant, still is His presence near. Canst thou not trust His silence? When we don't see Him and we don't feel Him, silence may be the answer. It may be the season that the Lord has me in. Folks, we can trust God's silence. I remember a time when we were first courting and Katrina caught my eye and wouldn't let go of it. And I was very much noticing where she was going. And I remember as that began budding and began talking with each other and spending some time together, remember I was very unsure of myself. I remember a night that I felt like I needed to go talk to her and express to her how I was feeling and how I felt about her and so forth. And oh, my heart was pounding. I don't know if what she gonna do. I don't know if she for sure if she feels the same way. I've been watching her. Sometimes I think so, and sometimes I think maybe not. and I'm in torment about it. I'm ready to just know. Do I have to move on, or do you maybe feel the same way about me? And I remember some of that turmoil in my young, very young heart and mind. You know, I don't feel that now. Something's happened, and something good. Our love's deeper than it was then. Where there was a time where I was unsure of her love, now I have no question. Where there were times where, you know, if I lived in Oklahoma and she in Louisiana, if I didn't get an email, yeah, that's how we communicated back then, for a day or two, oh no, what's gone wrong? Does she still like me? Has something else happened? You think we can be that way with the Lord? You know, there's a deepness in our love with Him that He wants us to get to. In our faith with Him, where I don't have, Lord, do you still love me? Lord, do you still, Lord, what was that about? Lord, why have you? Where I can learn. And it is a learning process of our faith being built and strengthened. And our faith, Scripture says, a faith which worketh by love. That's the foundation of our faith in God, is the love that He has for us. And that when I am persuaded of that love, when I know who He is and I have a relationship with Him, and that relationship, it doesn't stretch and break whenever Katrina doesn't call me at work or send me a text saying I love you every few hours. I know she loves me. I know everything's okay. We've gotten to know each other. We love each other more than we did then. You know, it's to be the same way with the Lord. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And where I can have something that holds me in those seasons of silence. Lord, I don't know why you're silent right now, but I know you're there. I don't know why you're silent right now, but I know you love me. I know that you know the way that I take. And when you've tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Scripture says, and it takes the grace of God to live it, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be comforted. Be calm to know that I've not left you. I've not forsaken you. I've not abandoned you. This silence is but a season, and the Lord will bring us out of it if we keep our trust in Him in a wealthy place. You pray for me. Amen.